Last weekend, I visited my friend Allison to see the varied thrush at her feeder. The thrush was very cooperative, but there were stretches when it left for several minutes at a time, and whenever it was gone, I'd find myself watching Allison's juncos. It was a gray day, the sky overcast and dark just after a deep snowfall, the perfect day for observing the birds Thoreau described as leaden skies above, snow below. When I started birding in 1975, the junco was number 12 on my life list, and I saw my first flocks of them in the very neighborhood where I'd grown up. I'd been on the planet for 23 years, spending my autumns, winters, and springs in the heart of the junco's range, yet I'd never once noticed a bird flying off showing white outer tail feathers like tiny streamers, never once noticed those beautiful gray birds with a white tummy and pink bill. Yet the moment the scales fell from my eyes, they were suddenly everywhere. It never ceases to amaze me how when we grow aware of birds, suddenly there are ever so many birds to be aware of. Unfortunately, not as many juncos winter in northern Minnesota and Wisconsin as do in Chicago. So although they're abundant here in spring and fall, seeing them in winter now isn't quite as easy as it would have been when I didn't even know they existed. I think we humans spend most of our lives in a cloud, aware of those things that interest us and oblivious to much of everything else. This protects us from sensory overload. How could we possibly notice every person, animal, and plant around us, along with every building, automobile, rock, and everything else? But we live in a far richer world than we appreciate. When I was in elementary school, I read the first book of weather, and suddenly, instead of generic clouds, there were cirrus and cumulus and cumulonimbus and nimbostratus and more. It didn't take the magic from gazing at the skies. If anything, it enhanced it. I know I never noticed construction trucks until I had a toddler who was fascinated with them. Suddenly, when any of my kids saw a shovel truck, we'd stop and watch. And it turned out that basic building construction and street repair were darn fascinating as soon as I started paying attention to bulldozers, backhoes, dump trucks, and cranes, rather than just taking my detours around generic shovel trucks. When I took college entomology, what had been just generic bugs were magically transformed into dragonflies and damselflies, mayflies and craneflies, honeybees, bumblebees, carpenter bees, a rainbow of beetles, and more. And suddenly my mind was more engaged, noticing and finding fascination in things that had been all around me all along, but had somehow been invisible to me. As I grew more aware of frogs and snakes, mammals and birds, the same world I'd been in all along took on color and nuance and richness. Some people read books that tell them how to get rich in the stock market or in business. To me, the quickest way to real wealth is in the pages of a field guide, and the riches we find in the natural world can give us infinite satisfaction no matter what the current interest rate banks are giving. Watching Allison's homey little juncos filled me with the kind of joy and satisfaction that money really can't buy. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.